Line, Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Joining us now is Nick Suss of the Tennessean. Nick was out at Titans OTAs yesterday when we couldn't be, so Nick's given us the full breakdown. Nick, appreciate you for joining us. We were just chatting about your four takeaways from Titans OTAs yesterday. And one thing that I read in your article and something that I heard a lot on social media was about Will Levis's day. What was your kind of full breakdown, full analysis within the guidelines of what we can say of Will Levis's day compared to the rest of the quarterback room?
Yeah, simply put, he's the guy we kind of thought he'd be 1 month into Titans practices. Like, I don't want to make too much out of guy who people said might be a project being a project.
Right.
Like, look, if you're comparing the way the ball comes out of his hand to the way the ball comes out of Ryan Tannehill's hand, it's not the same. And maybe it never will be the same. Maybe it's just not the same yet. But one of them's a 12-year pro who's had a lot of success in the league. One of them's a guy who's still trying to refine his talents as a downfield thrower, as an over-the-middle thrower, as a guy who moves around in the pocket. I thought that there were a couple of throws he made yesterday I was really impressed by, of his ability to step up in the pocket, move around, kind of throw on the run, find receivers downfield, keep his eyes downfield. I think that there are some innate skills there that get you excited, but you also see some inconsistency, see some inaccuracy, see some frustration boiling up at times, and that's natural. I think back to something Tannehill said yesterday about this is the time of year to make good mistakes, and I think that's kind of where Levis is at, where Malik Willis is at, where just about any young player on this team is at, is you're trying to figure out who you are as a professional football player. Will Levis has only been a professional football player for a month, month and a half. It's going to take some time for him to figure out who he is, and I don't know if he's necessarily gotten there yet, which is as to be expected.
Nick Suss is with us. One guy that I think needed a really good offseason, and one guy that I know I'm encouraged by, and it sounds like you are too based off of your most recent article in the Tennessean, is Treylon Burks. Everything sure. that he's done throughout the offseason, I've been really encouraged and enthused by. What have you seen from him so far?
Yeah, he looks like a guy who's more comfortable with what he's doing, and that's obviously what you want year one into year two for a receiver. The bar tends to be pretty low for what the Titans need from a number one receiver, given the way the offense runs. And even if you're running a faster tempo, you're still more of a methodical team when you have Derrick Henry on roster. But if this is a guy who can play in 17 games next year, if he can get to 850 yards, which is about what he'd be expected to in the average year one to year two jump for first round receivers, if he can get to 850 yards and six or seven touchdowns, that's exactly what this team needs. And based off the way he looks, I think he can get there. I think he can be a little bit better than that. And if that's the way this offense is structured, is Treylon can be in that 800 to 1,000 yards range and feel comfortable and draw a couple of safeties a little deeper and you know, help the running game have a little more success getting past 2-3 yards downfield, I think that's a blessing for this team.
We'll talk with Nick Suss of the Tennessee, and he was out at Tennessee Titans practice yesterday, OTAs. Now, Nick, was Harold Landry out there? If he was, how did he look? And then the other guys that they brought in, Arden Key, those guys, how did they look out there?
Yeah, Harold's not out there yet. A whole list of defensive guys aren't out there yet. Harold and Caleb Farley because of injury, and then Kevin Byard, Christian Fulton, Imani Hooker, and Sean Murphy Bunting weren't out there in the secondary of just not being out there for the optional practice. But when it comes to those other guys up front, I've been impressed with Arden Key. I think that he's going to be a really important player for this team, not just for, you know, his ability to rush the passer off the edge and pair with Harold Landry when he gets healthy, but also his ability to let Denico Autry play more on the inside, free up that defensive line to be a little bit more versatile with what Tyre Tart and Jeffrey Simmons and Autry and some of these other guys can do. I think his presence, his ability to be vocal, be animated, it's something the Titans necessarily didn't have last year. I think that he's somebody who's going to definitely be that vocal energy piece, which is something every defense seemingly should have. And also, he's just a gifted pass rusher. You can never have too many of those. So I think he's an exciting add for the Titans.
Now, the one guy I'm interested in, and he wasn't out there, was Caleb Farley. You just mentioned he wasn't out there. Now, with him, how do you think they approached this with him this year? Because they did add depth to the cornerback room this offseason. But I'm sure they're hoping that he can get over his injury issues. But how do you think they proceed with Caleb Farley?
It's such an interesting situation because you think back to last year, even before the injury, he was a special teams guy. He's got all this talent in the world, and when he was at his healthiest last year, which granted he still might not have been 100%, but who he was last year wasn't good enough to crack the top of the cornerback rotation. I think what they're focusing on right now is just making sure that he's confident enough and healthy enough to be who he can be. I don't know that anybody at this point knows who that is. I don't know if he's going to be the guy that achieves that first round potential from when the Titans drafted him. Maybe he can be, but right now they just have to focus on getting him mentally and physically prepared to think he can be that guy, because all of the on-the-field stuff, that's going to come second. You got to figure out the technique and all that, and it's super important. But this is a dude who, through 2 years in the NFL, has been through the ringer. I think that just they have to take care of making sure he can be on the field before they focus on can he beat out a Christian Fulton or Roger McCreary or Sean Murphy Bunting or any of these guys as a starting corner.
We're talking to Nick Suss, who is the beat writer for the Titans, for the Tennessean, and for those that, you know, you might put the connection together if you're an SEC fan, we used to talk to Nick a lot when he was covering Ole Miss and Mississippi State, and we've had him on before. So, Nick, it's great to talk to you again, and I was reminded about your love for sitcoms, and of course, we love talking TV on this show from time to time here. But so how do we feel about the overall health of the sitcom these days? Because D-Mace and I go back. I mean, we're Sanford and Son, the Jeffersons, Alice, you know, late 70s. This is our lives. We had a long talk
different
about
strokes.
Jumping the shark. Yes. Like with Happy Days, we actually were talking about Fonz jumping the shark not too long ago. So we share the same passion.
Sure, yeah. The sitcom is in an interesting place, and I'm glad that you've given me an hour and a half to talk about it, I assume.
Forget about the Titans. Let's talk sitcoms.
No, so this was a crux week for sitcoms with three major ones, three kind of era-defining ones coming to a close. Barry, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and Ted Lasso. I won't give spoilers for any of them because I assume people aren't as plugged in as I am, but I think that we're seeing the effect of Ted Lasso ring through sitcoms. A lot of very gentle, very motivational shows coming out, which you're seeing on network with shows like Abbott Elementary, and you're seeing on streaming with shows like Shrinking, shows like, what's it called? Our Flag Means Death, the pirate show on HBO Max that didn't get anywhere near enough credit. A lot of great shows in that vein. If you're talking about the Alice-style conventional four-camera sitcoms, I don't know if we're getting very many Sanford and Son reboots these days. I did get a kick out of Rob Lowe's show, what was that called? Unstable on
yes.
Netflix. That wasn't a four-camera show, but that one had some heart to it. If you want an under-the-radar one that came out this year, there is a show called Extraordinary on Hulu that's kind of a superhero kind of comedy show that it's very raunchy. I'm not going to recommend it if you're watching with kids around, but it's got some of the best gags I've seen of the year, and the Night Court reboot doesn't suck.
Really? Okay, I'm glad to know that.
Yeah,
because I was
suck.
Skeptical. I saw that. I was like, really? Can you pull that off?
No, it's fine. And that 90s show was also in the doesn't suck category. If you're into reboots, that 90s show doesn't suck. Night Court doesn't suck. How I Met Your Father, I have feelings about it, but I've seen every episode. There are shows that don't stink if you like old school sitcoms, but the new school stuff seems to be winning.
I'm always a little afraid of a reboot. Like, I don't want you to spoil a good thing, so you better bring it strong if you're going to do it. So I'm glad to hear that Night Court, which used to be on one of the greatest nights of TV there, I'm glad it doesn't suck. But let me sneak in one Titans question for you.
Sure.
Nick, before we let you go. Skoronski, just your first impression. I know you put a little video out there. Again, it's not time to overreact, but people, I'm sure, are really curious to see how he's doing out there.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. Obviously, the learning guard and tackle at the same time is going to raise some eyebrows. There are a lot of fans who don't want to see a team pick a guard number 11, and if he ends up playing guard this year, there are going to be people confused by the pick. But I'll just put it out blankly. I usually don't speak this bluntly. I think he's going to be the best blocker the Titans have. I don't care what position he plays at. The dude is good at blocking. And I talked to Coach Haas, Jason Hoteling, the offensive line coach, yesterday, and I was asking him about the arm length stuff, asking him about the positional versatility stuff. And look, at the end of the day, all they want him to do is make blocks. They don't care about how long his arms are. They don't care about what position he's playing. If he's playing the job he's playing and he's grading out well, he's doing the job they drafted him to do, which is improve the offensive line. And I think regardless of if he's playing guard or tackle, regardless of if he's got short arms or long arms, whatever insults you want to hurl at him or whatever pejoratives you want to say about positional value, they weren't good at blocking last year, and they drafted a guy who's really good at blocking. So that in itself feels like an improvement.
Derek, great catches. Yeah. You know, you caught 8 passes, but your arms just aren't long enough. Yeah, I don't know if we can put you out there next week.
but didn't I just catch all the passes?
But your arms, they're just not long enough. Can you grow those a little bit? Can you stretch? Like Bobby Brady and the Brady Bunch trying to get a little taller?
I can hang on the monkey bars and stretch for about 2 hours. I don't think that's going
to
work.
Brady Bunch taught us that doesn't work.
Exactly.
Right? Just working it back to the sitcom.
Nick, I will say, doesn't suck is one of my favorite soft endorsements of something. It doesn't suck. So that's the threshold. Nick Suss is with us from the Tennessee. And last one for you, Nick. Should the Titans pursue DeAndre Hopkins? And based off of Mike Vrabel's comments yesterday, do you think that they are?
Should's a weird word here, because teams should always try and get better players. And DeAndre Hopkins is better than certainly who the Titans are probably going to have as their number 3 or 4 receiver. And if you have 3 or 4 receivers on the field, getting a better player is good. Will they? Probably in a soft way. I think they will be in the sweepstakes, but I feel like this is a free agency that is more about DeAndre picking which teams he wants to talk to than it is teams that want DeAndre getting to talk to him. I think it probably would have been easier to land him had it been a trade than it would have in free agency. But the Titans receiving core, I looked this up yesterday. DeAndre's played 10 NFL seasons. Last year he had 730 or so receiving yards, and that was his second worst season in his career, and it's 170 more yards than any other Titans player has had in their career best season. Like, obviously this guy on the downturn is still an improvement over most of these Titans players at their best. That said, you have to talk about how he would fit on the team. You have to talk about positional value. You have to talk about salary cap stuff. You have to talk about chemistry. All of this is going to play in. If it's purely we're playing Madden and you're trying to get the best overall team rating, go get DeAndre Hopkins. If you're talking about this is a team that has a specific plan for what it wants, I say pursue it, but don't bet the house on it, because I still think that with or without DeAndre Hopkins, this team still has weaknesses elsewhere.
Nick Suss of the Tennessean, appreciate you for joining us and always appreciate your breakdowns on the Tennessean. We'll chat with you soon.
Yeah, let's talk soon.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks, Nick. And that's what I want to get into coming up next, because Mike Vrabel was asked about DeAndre Hopkins, what he had to say about the team's interest. We'll get into
and
that
did
next.
Nick ask Mike Vrabel what his favorite sitcom was?
Also that coming up
is
next.
Is that possible?
Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.